Today on After God's Heart.
Maybe for you, the great task to which God has called you is your family. Maybe it's your Sunday school class. Maybe it's a committee on which you're serving. Maybe it's our safety team. Maybe it's our greeting team. Maybe it's some responsibility that you know God has entrusted to you. And I want to remind you that whatever task God has given you is a great task. It's important in the kingdom of God. It's of value to God Himself. It is a great work. Don't let anything distract you from the great work to which God has called you. Don't step away. Trust God and keep working.
Welcome to After God's Heart with Dr. Darren Biles, author, professor, and pastor of Sunnyvale First Baptist Church. At the end of Nehemiah 5, the work of rebuilding the wall around the city was halfway done. Sometimes at the halfway point, opposition from the outside increases. When the challenges mount, our trust must increase. So as Dr. Biles continues his series through the book of Nehemiah, today we're going to look at Nehemiah 6. In this series entitled Rise Up, Dr. Biles is highlighting challenges and responsibilities of faith. Today we are reminded that believers need to rise up and trust. Dr. Biles?
The task God has given you is a great work. All of us have a task that God has given us. Generally, those tasks require divine assistance. If we could do it without Him, we probably would. But the greatness of the task reminds us of a deeper trust that is required of us in Him. Open your Bibles with me to Nehemiah chapter 6, and let's rise up in trust.
In 1814, the American Baptist Foreign Missionary Society was formed, and they began carrying out mission work for the spreading of the gospel in places around the world. And they actually began some of the missionary work that many other denominations have tried to replicate, taking the gospel to places where the gospel had never been heard. In the picture that represents their organization, there's an ox, and the ox is standing beside a plow and an altar. And the caption below says, ready for either. The altar represents sacrifice, and the plow represents work. And those missionaries went out with the mission, with a passion, with a burden, whether it means service or sacrifice. We're ready for whatever God asks. When you visualize the magnitude of the task, reflecting on everything that God has entrusted to us, literally Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all of the world, and you realize it is a great task. But I want to remind you that even as we have been entrusted with a great task, we serve a great God. We serve a God who's bigger than our task. We serve a God who's bigger than our challenges. We serve a God who's bigger than the opposition. And the Bible is full of stories of ordinary men and women who did mighty works because of a mighty faith in a mighty God. And I want to remind us this morning of our need to rise up and trust Him. Last week, in our study of Nehemiah, we've made our way through the first five chapters of Nehemiah, and we're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 6 this morning. Last week, the project was halfway done. The job that Nehemiah was coordinating, facilitating, rebuilding the walls of the city, the security that was so necessary that had been absent for 9 decades. They were halfway done because the people had a mind to work, and Nehemiah was there and organizing workers from every aspect, every facet of society. But now, as the imminent completion of the task becomes clear, opposition began to increase. Confronted by the greatness of the task and the increasing opposition, Nehemiah models for us and reminds us of the challenge we all face to trust. So continuing our series on rising up, I want to challenge us this morning to rise up in trust. So look with me in Nehemiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. When Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of the enemies heard, I had rebuilt the wall and there was no gap left in it. Though at the time I had not installed the doors or the city gate, Sanballat and Geshem sent me a message. Come, let's meet together in the valley of the Ono Valley. And they were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them, saying, I'm doing an important work and cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it to go down to you? Four times they sent me the same proposal, and I sent them the same reply. Sanballat sent me the same message a fifth time by his aide, who had an open letter in his hand, and it is written, it's reported among the Gentiles, Geshem agrees, that you and the Jews are planning to rebel. This is the reason you're building the wall. According to these reports, you're to become their king, and have even set up prophets in Jerusalem to proclaim on your behalf, there is a king in Judah. These rumors will be heard by the king, so come, let's confer together. So I replied to them, there's nothing to these rumors you are spreading. You are inventing them in your own mind. They're all trying to intimidate us, saying they will drop their hands from the work and it will never be finished. But now, my God, strengthen my hands. I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was restricted to his house. And he said, let's meet at the house of God inside the temple. Let's shut the temple doors because they're coming to kill you. They're coming to kill you tonight. But I said, should a man like me run away? How can someone like me enter the temple and live? I will not go. And I realized that God had not sent him. Because of the prophecy he spoke against me, Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He was hired so that I would be intimidated, do as he suggested, sin, and get a bad reputation in order that they could discredit me. My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat for what they have done, and also the prophetess Noadiah, and all the other prophets who wanted to intimidate me. When the opposition began to intensify, Nehemiah responded with a phrase that stands out in the text. I am doing a great work. Just that thought with which Nehemiah responded to them there in verse 3. I am doing a great work declares how he recognizes the magnitude, the significance of his work. I'm not just doing something that is common. I'm not just doing something in order to do it. I am doing something great. At the moment you begin to step out and by God's mercy attempt something great, it's normal that you're going to face some kind of opposition that is going to oppose you, and it will require you, if you are to complete the great task that God has entrusted to you, it is going to require of you a great trust. The enemies have tried desperately now to interrupt anything that Nehemiah is beginning to accomplish, and here in the task, they are in several different efforts, trying verbal, spiritual warfare. And I want you to see not only what are the tactics of our enemy, I want you to see how you and I can rise up in our trust. How we can trust great responsibilities to a great God. How we can believe by faith that God can and will accomplish His purpose through us when we do it for His glory. And I want to suggest to you some things we learn along the way about rising up in trust. First thing that I want you to notice from this first wave of attack that came against Nehemiah is that trusting God reveals what's important. When I trust God and I put my faith in God, it becomes very clear what is most important and those things that are of lesser importance. So when the chapter begins here in Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah is busy doing the work. We saw last week they're already halfway done. So now the enemy is beginning to intensify their efforts. And so once they began to see that the work was being done, and look what the Bible says, there's no gap in it. We're doing the work well. We're doing a good work. And so all of a sudden the enemy decides to try to distract him. What can I do to disrupt? What can I do to interrupt? What can I do to get him to walk away from what he's doing? So there's an invitation. Verse 2, come, let's meet. Nehemiah, let's meet. We've heard what's going on, and we want to find out more. We want to get involved in what you're doing. And you can imagine all kinds of thoughts that were running through their head. Now, Nehemiah sees through that because he says, I know they were planning to harm me, but it's an attempt to take away his focus from what otherwise was God's will. So they say, come, let's meet together in the valley. Come down. The language there that you see in verse 2 to come down that Nehemiah repeats, I can't come down. And there's not just the elevation that is implied there, that certainly the city was elevated above other parts around that community, but it was more than that. I'm coming down away from what I know to be the plan God has for me to what you are distracting me with. I won't come down. Ono was a side street. Ono was a distraction. Ono was something to prevent him from doing something that he knew God had called him to do. Come, let's meet together in the valley of Ono. And Nehemiah responded, Ono, I won't be distracted from what I know to be the will of God, the plan of God. I am doing a great work. And notice what he says, I cannot come down. He didn't say, I won't come down. He didn't say, I shouldn't come down. I cannot. I recognize the weight of the work that I'm doing. I recognize the significance. I can't come down. I can't step away. I can't stop doing what I know God has called me to do. I will not be distracted. Maybe for you, the great task to which God has called you is your family. Maybe it's your Sunday school class. Maybe it's a committee on which you're serving. Maybe it's our safety team. Maybe it's our greeting team. Maybe it's some responsibility that you know God has entrusted to you. And I want to remind you that whatever task God has given you is a great task. It's important in the kingdom of God. It's of value to God Himself. It is a great work. Don't let anything distract you from the great work to which God has called you. Don't step away. Trust God and keep working. Trusting God reminds us what's important. The second thing I want you to notice from the text, trusting God reveals what's true. There is an attempt here in the text that I want you to see. Nehemiah eventually sees through it. They've tried four times to send messengers to Nehemiah, inviting him to step away. On the fifth attempt, the Bible says, they came with a letter. And you notice what the Bible says, it's an open letter that suggests that it's unsealed, which suggests that it's unofficial and probably anonymous. Maybe it's open so that anyone there can open it up and look inside. There's an open letter. We want everyone to know there's a letter, and here's the contents of the letter. It is reported. We heard a rumor. There's a story. I heard somebody said. And now, notice, it's being reported. So not only was there a rumor that was concocted, now that rumor is being disseminated. It is being reported. Now, the implication is we're the ones doing it, but they didn't say that. It's being reported, and Geshem agrees, as though that validates it. Somehow this guy agrees with this rumor that is being spread, so that's intended to add a little bit of weight, a little force, a little intimidation. Here's the rumor, you and the Jews are planning to rebel. But not only did they say that, not only are you and the Jews planning to rebel, but now you, Nehemiah, are planning to promote yourself to be king. Now you know what they're saying here? It's being reported, and the king of Persia is going to hear about it, that you have plans to defy him. Word's going to get out to the king of Persia that you want to be the king of Jerusalem. And so, as though they now somehow can fix it, let's come and confer. Let's make a plan. Let's figure this out. These who have been his perennial enemies throughout this project, all of a sudden now pretending to be his friends, you just come, we'll confer. We've heard all these rumors about you, but we're going to help you fix it. And Nehemiah says, I know they're trying to intimidate me. In fact, what Nehemiah reveals is he knows that this was an effort to discourage him. If I can just wave after wave get Nehemiah to be so afraid, so nervous, so concerned that attacks are coming, that rumors are flying, that people are saying things about it, that who knows what might happen if somebody hears, he'll get discouraged. Maybe if time and time again the enemy attacks, it's so easy to step away, to get discouraged, to quit, to walk away, to do something else. And so now wave after wave is beginning to disseminate, and now they're spreading rumors about Nehemiah, and all who could hear it is being reported. And Nehemiah said, there's nothing to these rumors. There are rumors, but you started them. You're the one that's spreading these rumors. I know they're not true. Notice though, Nehemiah doesn't go around to everyone to whom the rumors had been spread. He just went to the source. I know what's true. Nehemiah said, they're trying to weaken us, and he prays for strength. They're trying to intimidate us. They're trying to frighten us. And so he simply prays to the Lord God, strengthen my hands. They want him to quit. Do you know why quitting is so attractive? It's because quitting is easy. All you got to do is just walk away. Discouragement comes in. Difficulty of the task begins to mount. And it's so easy to hear and believe the voices of untruth and just get discouraged and quit. Are you in a hard situation today? Maybe your job has got complicated. Maybe your family's got complicated. Maybe your marriage is struggling or some other difficult circumstance that you are facing today. And it would be so easy to just walk away. It'd be so easy to quit and go do something else. But listen, don't walk away. Trust God and keep believing. Trusting God reveals what's true. We live in a world that operates in half-truths.
It's one of our biggest events of the year, and you are invited. Our annual Family Fun and Fireworks event will be Sunday, July 2nd. This free event kicks off at 6:30 p.m. with games, food trucks, music, and more. The night concludes with one of the biggest and best fireworks shows in East Dallas County at approximately 9:30 p.m. You can watch them from your car or the lawn. Don't miss this great community event that is family-friendly and fun for everyone. We'll see you on July 2nd at Sunnyvale First Baptist Church. And now let's get back to the message.
There's a third lesson that we learn from Nehemiah about trusting. Trusting God reveals what's right. The right thing that I should do. Not just the prudent thing, not just the thing that somebody wants me to do, but reveals what's right. There's a third attack against Nehemiah that begins in verse 10, and this one's devious. A friend, a prophet of God, sent a note. We learn later he was hired, which suggests something about his character. But he sent word to Nehemiah. Now, the text says somewhat enigmatically, he was restricted to his house, which is curious because the lie that he says to Nehemiah involves going somewhere else. But the text clearly tells us he's restricted to his house, which is probably some indication that what he is saying is not true. But he is somehow, whether it's for health reasons or security reasons, he is restricted to his house, but he calls Nehemiah to come, or rather, he lures Nehemiah to come to his house, and then listen to what he says. Let's meet at the house of God. Now, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Let's go to church. But that's not the point that he's making. This is not let's go worship God. Let's go meet at the house of God inside the temple, and then watch this. Let's shut the temple doors. We're going to lock ourselves in because they're coming. Now, they are unnamed. So whoever the they is that is apparently coming is unnamed in the story, but they're coming. And in fact, not only are they're coming to kill you. And moreover, I think they're coming tonight. So this would-be pretend friend of Nehemiah calls him to his home. Nehemiah makes a house call to a false prophet who says to him, things are bad, it's dangerous, you need to leave, you need to walk away. Rather, you need to run away. And more than that, you need to run away to the church. You need to run away to the temple. This third act of deception is the most devious of all. Have you noticed that the enemy never announces himself by saying, ready or not, here I come? He never really warns you to say, oh, by the way, I'm about to tempt you. I'm about to try to lure you. I'm about to deceive you. What I'm going to say to you might sound truthful. It might sound plausible, but it is untrue. And the fact is, not only is this false prophet lying to Nehemiah, he is encouraging him to do something that was unlawful. So Nehemiah said to him, first, I'm not running away. Second, I'm not using God to do it. I'm not running away to the temple. They're trying to make me afraid, but I perceived, Nehemiah said, God did not send him. He was hired to intimidate me. So Nehemiah said to him, I will not go. You see, trusting God reveals what's right. In a world where right and wrong are increasingly fuzzy, where everyone wants to say to you truth, truth is what's true to you. As though truth was somehow now negotiable. It's subjective. It might be true for you, but it's not necessarily true for me. Or it might be true for me, but it doesn't have to be true for you. And we can somehow now negotiate what is true and what is false. But I remind us that the Bible does not give us that freedom. But trusting in God reminds us what's right. Don't run away. Trust God and keep standing. Trust God and keep standing for truth. Trust God and keep believing what the Word of God says. Trust God, and even if you stand by yourself, you stand on the truth of God's Word, and you live it and not just talk about it. If we work only in our own strength, then the only thing we can accomplish is what we can do by ourselves. It takes very little faith to what I can do without God. But to accomplish a God-sized task requires a God-sized commitment. It requires a trust that is unyielding. It requires that I recognize who He is and that He's greater than whatever task that I face, and everybody knew it. And we stand up and sing with the Jews, "To God be the glory, great things He has done." But you come to the end of chapter 6, and there's one more thing that the text tells us. Not only does the text tell us that the wall was done, the wall was completed, but then verse 17, during those days, just pause there for a second, during those days. Now, the introduction to this verse suggests to us this was not a one-time event that's about to happen. It also suggests to us that just because Nehemiah and the people were doing a great work, that did not mean that all opposition ceased. Just because they were doing God's will, that did not mean that everything went well for them or everything went easy for them. There's still opposition. You've heard people say it. If you'll just trust God, God will take care of all your problems. If you'll just trust God, God will take care of all your finances. If you'll just trust God, God will remove every enemy. If you'll just trust God, God will remove every burden in your life. The problem is, that's a lie. And anybody who said that is a false prophet. Because in these days, opposition might continue. People might disagree. Kids will rebel. Crises will come. Some of them from the inside. And Nehemiah's two refusals resound for us how we handle the opposition that we face. I cannot and I will not. Those two bookend professions of Nehemiah saying to the people, when the task gets tough and the enemy attacks, I remember God is bigger than my burden. Trust God and keep building. Don't step away in distraction. Don't walk away in discouragement. Don't run away in fear. You come to the end of this chapter, and Nehemiah reminds us of something we already knew because the Apostle Paul affirmed it. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Sometimes it's easy to get distracted. It's hard to know what to believe. It's scary out there sometimes. It's lonely out there sometimes. But look what they did. Nehemiah said, I'm doing a great work. Because I trust Him, I won't meet the enemy on his terms. Because I trust Him, I won't listen to the wrong voices. Because I trust Him, I won't get sidetracked from the mission. Because I trust Him, I won't weaken when frustrations come. And because I trust Him, I won't run away when difficulties mount. So when you walk out these doors this morning, my prayer is that we recommit to the task that God has given us. And when the enemy starts to whisper and people around you begin to gossip, others may misunderstand, we remind ourselves, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. Don't lose focus. Don't give in to fear. Don't compromise. Don't quit. Instead, rise up and trust. And I remind us of two very important things of temporal and eternal security. You can trust Him for today, and you can trust Him for eternity. The one thing that distinguishes us as believers from everyone else in the world, we know something they don't know. We know that though this world may have trouble, we take heart because He's overcome. We know that though this world may have difficulty and this world may have trial, there's another world coming. And while the enemy may seem to have power in this world, he has no power in that world. While the enemy may be able to deceive you in this world, he cannot bring untruth in that world. And while he may discourage you in this world, he has nothing on you in that world, because in that world, Jesus alone reigns. So I challenge us today to rise up in trust.
Nehemiah reminds us, because I trust him, I won't meet the enemy on his terms. Because I trust him, I won't listen to the wrong voices. Because I trust him, I won't get sidetracked from the mission. Because I trust him, I won't weaken when frustrations come. And because I trust him, I won't run away when difficulties mount. My prayer is that you and I as believers recommit to the task and do it. We've entitled this program, After God's Heart. The name of the program comes from the title of my newest book, After God's Heart. It's a story of the life of David, the challenges, the lessons that we learn from David, and how we can apply those to our lives. We'd love to send you a copy of my book when you support this ministry with your generous gift. Now here's Ed to give you more details on how you can get a copy of my book.
Thanks, Dr. Biles. You can get a copy of After God's Heart today by contacting Sunnyvale First Baptist Church at 972-226-7105 or sunnyvalefbc.com. You can also write us at 3018 North Beltline Road, Sunnyvale, Texas, 75182. Attention, After God's Heart. And here's a final word from Pastor Darren.
Thanks, Ed. If you're ever in the North Texas area, I want to invite you to be our guest at Sunnyvale First Baptist Church. We have Sunday school classes for all ages. Our worship service on Sunday mornings begins at 10:30. We would love for you and your family to be our guest anytime you are able at Sunnyvale First Baptist Church.
Once again, on behalf of Dr. Biles, we want to thank you for listening. I'm your host, Ed Petty, and we'll see you next time on After God's Heart.